and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord. I have not faltered. Test me, Lord. Try me. Examine my heart. Examine my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty and whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me, O Lord, and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground in the great congregation. I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Would you remain standing and join us in a time of worship and celebration to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Let's stand together.
All my days, I've been held in your hand.
God, you are faithful, and nobody loves me like you do. Let's go to him in prayer today. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we come before you today with an awareness, Lord, that hearts are heavy. Grief is something that is challenging for us, and all of us respond differently. Saddened hearts today, be made filled with peace. Discouraged hearts, be encouraged. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God, thank you for the life well lived in the person of Bonnie Blow. I pray that today a sense of your presence would envelop us, would wrap around us, would minister to us, and when we leave this place, minister through us, that we might still be about your mission as Bonnie was. Father, we bless today our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It was 1959. God graced the home of Billy and Mona Rose with their first child, a daughter. They named her precious daughter Bonnie Rose. Bonnie is a name of Scottish descent. And I looked at the realities of that word. I thought, Bonnie, let me delve into this. Bonnie is a name that came from the Scottish descent, and it means pretty. And then it borrows the origin from the French. Have you ever heard someone say, bon appetit, B-O-N? Bon means good, like I have a good appetite. So this couple, Billy and Mona Rose, ascribed to their daughter two characteristics. You are pretty, and you are good. I know you could join with me today and affirm that all the days that you knew Bonnie, you could say she was named very well. So many of you that love Bonnie are here today and can attest to those characteristics. The Roses, Billy and Mona, surrounded Bonnie with love and affection, and they reared Bonnie in the faith and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ that resulted in, at an early age, her finding faith for herself. And it was also from a very young age that Bonnie found a love for music. Isn't it amazing that she transferred that love for music in a little Christian hip-hopper named Keaton? You just transferred it down through the family. Today in her home is her great-grandma's antique pump organ. Bonnie used to sit on her grandpa's lap while he pumped the organ, and she put her little fingers on the keys and she would play. She continued her love for music as a young girl and actually led a choir as a teenager. She led a choir at Union Baptist Church. And she also continued to begin the worship ministry of the church that they would pastor, Closer Walk. And in the midst of that season, Bonnie even wrote a song that you'll hear later in the service. The song is called In the Midst. Matthew 12:34 says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the very first words out of Bonnie's heart, when I looked at that sheet of paper, the very first line of the song, it says, in the midst of trouble, you're my rock. She continues in the song to declare that Jesus Christ was her rock. He was her peace. He was her comfort, and that he loves her and makes all the provision for her in the midst of all the imperfections of her own life, the confusion in life that she might face, and every one of the trials that she would walk through. In the midst of trouble, Lord, you're my rock. Listen for it when we get to the song later. I'd like to share a passage from the words of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. The passage is like a foundation. It's like the very basis in which Bonnie's life was built. Jesus is speaking here, and this is what he says. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, The streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, oh, he is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had, here we go, authority, and not as the teachers of the law. Jesus is speaking metaphorically here, and he releases a comparison to us, and Matthew says that what is said literally brought amazement to those who heard him that day. Amazement because of his what? Authority, in which he released that teaching. Bonnie trusted that authority. There came a point in time in her life where he invaded her space, her heart, and he reached out to her, and she responded to him. She responded to that authority, together with her husband, Pastor Mike, and her devoted their lives to Jesus Christ. I've got bits and pieces of the history, as I've been here for some time now, and little bits and pieces of the journey along the way. This is a season of our life where we were here, and over here was another season of our life. And it's a story. It's their story. It's their story. They lived their lives for Jesus Christ. They gave themselves to Jesus Christ, heart and soul, mind, will, and emotions, everything about them given to the Lord Jesus Christ. They placed their full confidence in him and settled the matter of life a long time ago. They raised their children with those same convictions, those same convictions that Joshua declared in chapter 20, verse 24, verse 15, "And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the good times, we will serve the Lord. In the not so good times, we will serve the Lord. In bad times, in difficult times, in times of heartbreak and disappointment, it is settled in our hearts that what? We will serve the Lord." That's why for many of us, these last several days, we've had to ask ourselves the hard questions. I've had people to ask me, "Pastor, how much more can this family handle?" That's a hard question. I was brought up in a home where my grandmother said, "You don't ever question God." So it's like you just take it. And even though your heart wants to cry out and say, "Lord, what are you saying to me?" You don't question him. And that's my grandmother taught me this. I didn't read it in the Bible. Because I look in the Bible and I hear Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm at a tough spot here." So it's okay to ask the questions that you've asked. It's okay to feel in your heart, "God, what are you doing here?" You know? Because God's character is not going to be changed by your questions. It's not. Many of us are asking that question, "Why, God?" It reminded me of a great book that I purchased many years ago through watching the ministry of Dr. Billy Graham. He gave the book away to those who would make a contribution at the end of the broadcast, and I did, and I received the book. And that book became a catalyst for me to use as a tool over the years, some 42 years of ministry, to give that book away to people who were going through challenging times. It's called Trusting God in a Twisted World. The book is written by Elizabeth Elliot, and the entire book is devoted to that question that we as believers all have sometimes: God, why? Elizabeth's husband was too a missionary. Jim Elliot, he was a part of Operation Aka, an attempt to evangelize a tribe of people that were very tribal in Ecuador. The people that Jim and his other missionary friends, five of them, were giving their lives for the sake of the gospel. And the very people that they were trying to tell of Jesus' love speared them and took their lives. It was Pastor David Metz who turned me on years ago to the movie. And it's depicted. And I've even followed that through the years and understand that there was a man in that tribe named Menke. Menke was one of the ones who did the spearing, and he himself was responsible for the deaths of two of those five missionaries. Elizabeth Elliot never stopped her heart and her compassion because of what had happened to her husband. In fact, all the more, she dedicated her life to the proclamation of the gospel, to the spreading of the message of hope to the world, to reaching even the people who had taken the life of her own husband. The story fast forwards to Menkane, the one who killed two of them, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through the proclamation of the gospel in that tribe. Made his first visit to the States in 1997. Today serves as a pastor of a Christian church. God has a plan for all of our lives. Sometimes we just don't get the answers that we would like to have. And when we build our house on the rock, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, when those storms come, and they will come, and when they beat against the house, and they will beat against your house can stand. Pastor Mike shared with me many things in these past several days. One of the things he shared was that Bonnie had asked him since the last time we gathered in this sanctuary for Aiden and Keaton's memorial service. She said, "Honey, are we going to be able to stand in this storm?" Because she said, "This is the worst storm that we've ever had to go through." Jesus said this. He said, "The rain came." He said, "The streams rose." He said, "The winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall." Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock, the great hymn of the church, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Be of good cheer, my friends. Bonnie built her life. Bonnie built her family. Bonnie built her all on the rock of Jesus. Paul said it clearly in Romans 8, verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." I don't understand. You don't understand. But God, who knows all and allows what he allows, is the only one who can take the winds and the waves and all the storms that you and I may go through and make any sense out of it all for his glory and for his honor. He will bring calm. He will bring peace. He will be glorified. Our prayer today is that you would receive the strength of God through words that are shared, through songs that are sung, through kindness of people like you who've reached out to this precious family. There are others today that would like to share personal tributes that are not here, but we've made provision for them to speak to you today. Would you join me in a few personal tributes?
Hi, I'm Pastor Phyllis Dosick, and I am just going to be saying a few words about Bonnie Blow today. Listen, she is an amazing, amazing woman of God. She loves God with all of her heart, her strength, every fiber in her body. Her whole life has been spent serving the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And also, she is an amazing wife. She loves Mike. Oh my goodness. She loves him so much. She takes food and serves it to him. Oh yeah, she dotes on him like he's just this king. And I think Pastor Dosick would have wanted me to do that, but I'll leave it to Bonnie. Listen, his daughters, she was the perfect mother for his children, the perfect mother and the perfect grandmother. She did such an awesome job. Them babies, she loved them grandbabies with all of her heart. Listen, I do want to say this about Bonnie. She didn't even know me. And Pastor went there to North Carolina, met her and Mike. She crocheted a scarf for me. She was a giver. So, and she crocheted that and sent it back with Pastor. I said, "Pastor, this woman doesn't even know me." He said, "I know." He said, "She's just a good woman." Listen, I believe that this is what Bonnie would want me to tell you. If there's anyone out there in a church today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, she would tell you, go to Mike, go to one of these guys that is there today and tell them, pray with me. Just pray with me. I want to see Bonnie again. And the only way you're going to see Bonnie again is if you give your life to Christ. And you can see Jesus and everybody else that has went on to heaven before you. So go to them, ask them, just say, pray the sinner's prayer with me. And they will. You just have to accept him into your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Listen, this would be Bonnie's last request. She wants to see you in heaven. Just like, you know, we're all going to be there one of these days. And I want to see you too. I love you guys, and don't let today pass without sharing a wonderful memory about Bonnie. Bye-bye.
Hey, family. Pastor Mike, Charlie, Christy, and Matthew, and all the others, Mama, all of you, I just wanted to send you a message saying that we're all praying for you. We love you. The whole Ohio family, all the congregations are praying for you. Can't even imagine this moment. I know my heart's broken because Bonnie was one of my best friends. Bonnie was a woman that I could go to and talk to anytime. And she would not only listen to me, not judge me, not share with anybody else what I told her, and she would give me good godly counsel and good advice to follow, and I would follow it and it would work out. Bonnie to me was just exemplified the Proverbs 31 woman. She taught me how to love better, to honor my husband better. There's no better woman I've seen honor her husband more than I saw Bonnie honor Pastor Mike and how she took care of him. Now, to my liking, a little bit too much, Pastor Mike. No, she loved you. She taught me how to love my kids better. She'd be at my house and those girls would call. Oh, excuse me, I gotta go. Christy's calling. Excuse me a minute. Charlie's calling. And those grandbabies were her heart and soul. Matthew, you kept her going. I just want to let you know, buddy, she loved you so much. We're all going to miss her. I'm going to miss the friend that I had, the sister that I had. She's more my family than anything. And my heart just breaks. But just know we love you all. And we're always going to be here for you. We're your Yankee family. We ain't going anywhere. You're my Southern family. And we're here for you. We love you. And we are going to see you soon.
Hi, my name is Miranda Saunders, and I'm the kids pastor here at Carpenter Shop International Church. What a joy it was to know Miss Bonnie, and what a heartbreak to hear of her passing last week. I was thinking back and trying to remember when it was that I met Miss Bonnie, and the truth is I really can't remember. I just remember that she always felt like family. And when I think about Miss Bonnie, I think about how she's the perfect example of the virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31. Miss Bonnie loved her husband. She was the perfect partner to Pastor Mike. It didn't matter what they were doing, whether it was work or whether it was missions meetings at the church, and Miss Bonnie is behind the scenes making copies and getting things right. She loved her husband. She loved her family, and she served them well. Miss Bonnie also loved to serve. I remember being at many tables, and she was the first one up to clear plates, to get coffee, to do whatever it was that she felt in her heart could serve others. She was a hard worker, and she didn't mind getting her hands dirty. Miss Bonnie also loved people. I remember several years ago, one of my fondest memories of her, we were desperately needing teachers in the preschool class upstairs in our kids' church, and I had spoken about this just in passing with Pastor Mike and Miss Bonnie, and she came up to me in the foyer a little while later and offered to step in where we needed her so much as a teacher. Miss Bonnie was amazing with the kids. She was always the most prepared. She kept me on my toes a little bit because a few weeks in advance, she was there making sure that we had her lesson, that she could prepare and study and do things well. And she showed so much love to the kids, and she showed love to me at that time by stepping in when we needed her so much. But most of all, Miss Bonnie loved the Lord. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." Bonnie was a rock to her family. She was a pillar to our church, but all because God was her true source of strength. Her faith was firm. In my selfishness, I would love to have Miss Bonnie pop her head in at my door in my office a few more times, but the reality and the truth I know is that the joy and the peace that she has found, not only with her Savior, but once again with the grand boys that she loves so much, I know nothing on earth could possibly compare. Our prayers go out to the family and to those many, many that loved her so very much. God bless.
Hi, my name is Suzanne, and this is Saul, Elizabeth, Sarah, and Yako and Zayana aren't here with us this morning, but we are the extended family of God from the church in Doha, Qatar. My husband and I were contacted and let known through a series of communication that there was an emergency, and we are just saddened by it, but also grateful that we could get to know Pastor Mike and Bonnie's family through this situation, and we're blessed by it.
We have the privilege of being a part of this family, of your family, as we joined Bonnie and Mike on that January day.
Although we were strangers, God knew this ahead of time. So it was good to see, along with Mike, what the global body of Christ really looks like. And although that they essentially landed in the middle of nowhere in the Middle East, God had a plan beforehand and brought the global body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, together for this special occasion.
What we want to share with you is that we know that you knew and loved Bonnie, and we want to share that we stood in your place to represent you, to surround her with the love of all of you, by taking time to speak to her and thank her for her ministries as a mother, as a church musician, as a co-laborer in ministry for the Lord, as a missionary. We spoke words of scripture with her and Mike, as we knew that you would, if you were there and able to be around, if you were here and able to be with her. We sang songs of our Savior around her as she took the hand of Jesus. And so we want to share with you and assure you that your mother, your friend, your mentor, your sister in Christ, was surrounded by the people of God and the praise of God as she entered her new life healed.
Those are very meaningful tributes to Bonnie. She was a very special and loving lady and friend. And most of us probably did not know that she was such an avid lover of music. But she was so much more. She was a lover of horseback riding. I loved the pictures of her on horseback. She loved to fish. She was a certified hunter safety instructor for North Carolina. She was Pastor Mike's number one painter. She was his CPA for work and home. She managed the ministry with all of its preparation for travel and planning, preparing, and packing. And she worked at Cato's. And I can tell you about that packing deal. We went to district council. And, of course, I had some stuff here and some stuff there. And a blouse hanging up drying in the car on the way. You know how you do. You're in a hurry. You rush from work and you throw some stuff in, right? Not Bonnie. She prepared days ahead and had her stuff all folded neatly and could find everything. I was putting on stick-on nails on the way too. So, I mean, the difference in Bonnie's preparation and planning versus being disorganized or less organized. But she worked at Cato's, she worked at People's Drug Store, she worked at State Employees Credit Union, and of course she worked at Poor Boy Country Meat Business when it was open. It was there where Hardee's is today. Bonnie loved people. She loved greeting people. She loved being one-on-one with people and connecting. And it was noted on Wednesdays and Sundays here, people would kind of corner her and get her to themselves to have that one-on-one time. When listing these few things that Bonnie did, and she did so many more than what I listed, I'm reminded of the scripture from Matthew 6, 1-6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Bonnie was a behind-the-scenes type person. She rarely ever told what she was doing unless it was necessary. She often was the one to call and ask me what she could bring to an event or what she could do for a function here at the church. She was a person of planning and often would be ready to volunteer before I even had my list compiled of what we needed. Can I just say, you can learn a lot about a person while you get a pedicure. Something about taking your shoes off in front of somebody. I remember a time when Bonnie and I took an afternoon and we went for pedicures and a quick Walmart run. And I say quick because Bonnie's very time conscious, not me. I could have just meandered around there and gotten lost in time and showed up about 10 o'clock at night back home, but not Bonnie. When making plans, I offered to pick Bonnie up and go towards Greenville for some girl time, but Bonnie knew me well enough to know that she would be much more time conscious than myself, and she suggested that we meet at my house and we would go to Elizabeth City Way. So we talked about our families, our concerns, our recent prayer list that we had been praying over and our needs. And then we relaxed. We turned on the massage chairs and we decompressed. We had our moment of deep conversation, but then we had our moment of quiet relaxation. It was fun to realize we had both picked out almost the very same toenail color. I was like, I am like her. Yay, yay. You know how girls just love, you know, to do things alike? It was that girl moment, you know, where we were just relaxing at that point in the chairs, picking out our toenail color, doing our girl thing. And guess what? We felt all dolled up when we stepped out of there with our light pink toenails. And we ended our day with a promise to do it more often because we realized we don't get dolled up very much. But during this outing, I easily knew that my guard could be laid down. I could be real. And Bonnie would keep our conversation between us. I felt at ease. I felt comfortable. And I felt seen. Bonnie was the type of person that could just do that to somebody. She would make it easier on me. She would listen with intent. And she could be trusted. On our way home that evening, she shared of her plans for dinner. Who plans dinner? She plans for the next morning to assist with a family member. She was planning, prepared, and time conscious as she served others. And the term servant goes way beyond when you talk about Bonnie, because she served behind the scenes so loyally, so faithfully. Bonnie loved us. She loved her husband, her daughters, her grandson, her son-in-laws, her mom, her sister, her family members, her friends, her church, her ministry. Bonnie loved people. Bonnie loved people she had never seen before. Bonnie loved people on the other side of the world. Bonnie and her strengths of planning and preparing will be missed. Bonnie and her kindness and quiet spirit will be missed. Bonnie and her ability to pray over others will be missed. Bonnie and her quick ability to offer volunteerism will be missed. Bonnie and her friendship, her strengths, her ability to press others forward as she served will be missed. Many of you, like me, realize that we have been changed by knowing Bonnie Blow. Now let's listen and enjoy the song that Bonnie wrote entitled, In the Midst.
Thank you.
Pastor Joy spoke of Bonnie's incredible gift as a planner. She was always ready, not just practically in every area of her life, but most importantly, spiritually. First time ever, Bonnie inadvertently left her Bible the Wednesday before her passing. She accidentally left her Bible here in the church. Pastor Miranda found it on the table, and her notes were tucked away in the Bible from the study that night, and she had filled out every space in the guide, and the lesson was on readiness, spiritual readiness, being prepared. The first point was, you and I must stay dressed. The second one was, it is imperative for us to keep our lamps burning. And the third was, be like men who are always awaiting the destiny of the Master. Such a truth, tucked in her scriptures. On Pastor Mike and Bonnie's mission to Africa, they were preparing for the future. The Aiden and Keaton's home, Hope, looking at options for a location, property, building, future details. And she was so excited to be able to fulfill that mission. And apparently when she was preparing, as we've all heard today, that she did so well, she must have had some sort of deep thoughts, maybe even premonition, because she left notes back here. She's in Africa. She leaves notes here in America at home for the girls. One of the notes read like this: don't forget to pay your dad's Medicare for April, May, and June. Please pay it before March the 15th. She wrote it as if she wouldn't be here. And the reality of life is this: you and I never know. We never know. Life is short. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Scripture says that life is what? A vapor. The family shared with me in our conversation just this past week that they recalled a study that they did in the ministry called My Five Wishes. My Five Wishes for Life. And that Bonnie had put as her last and final wish that whenever I die, I want my funeral to definitely include an opportunity for people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Today, we honor her life, a life well lived. We also honor her wishes. My question for each of us today as we're here in this sanctuary, are you prepared? Is if your life would be cut short, where would you spend eternity? Would you spend it in heaven, or would you miss it and your destiny be hell? Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day to prepare. Today is the day to choose Christ. If there's an area in your life that's separating you from God, it's time to lay that aside. Would you please take a moment and just bow your heads right where you are? And I'm going to simply ask, if you're here today, and you'd say, Pastor, as you pray this final prayer, would you please remember me? You know, that was the words of one of the thieves on the cross. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you please remember me? And Jesus said, today, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Are you here today? And you'd say, upon Bonnie's request, Pastor, please remember me in your final prayer. Would you just throw your hand up quickly and put it down and let me pray for you right where you're seated? Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up quickly. God bless you. Anyone else? Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, thank you for the precious power of the Holy Spirit able to touch a heart in a moment like this to say, hey, please remember me. Lord, I thank you for Bonnie's desire to serve you. for Bonnie's desire to love you, for Bonnie's desire to be on mission, to be constantly about the Father's business. Lord, there are folk that don't understand that. There are folk that don't understand calling. There are folk that don't understand mission. There are folk that don't understand passion. But I thank you today that you deposited into this family, this precious family, the desire to do the work of your kingdom. Lord, I bless it in Jesus' name. This family, just like Elizabeth Elliot, will not allow these hardships to stop them from their destiny to be proclaimers of the gospel. In fact, even the men who were arrested, when they were released from prison, joined hands right outside the cell and said, "Lord, consider their threats, but even with greater boldness, let your servants move forward and do God's will. Reach out your hand to heal," they said. Lord, I pray that for Pastor Mike and his family, the Aiden, Keaton, Hope, the home, the plans, the trips, the preaching, the teaching, the preparation of other ministers would continue to honor you, but to honor also their precious partner, this pretty, good young lady named Bonnie Blow. We give you praise for who you are and your call upon our lives to preach the gospel. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Let's just join in worship of one more song as we come to a close. After this song, we will immediately move into a pictorial memory slideshow, and then we'll turn the service over to Garrett Sykes' funeral home. God bless you.
you've given me, the memories are all in my mind. And now that we've come to the end of our rainbow, there's something I must say out loud. You once, twice, three times a lady, you once, twice, three times a lady, and I love you.
Thank you for taking the time to share memories. And my encouragement to you is to be sure and pray for Pastor Mike, for Charlie, and for Christy and the entire family. We appreciate your presence here today. And we'll repair here in just a moment to Ahoskie Cemetery where the burial will take place. At this time, I'd like to turn the service back over to the care of Garrett Sykes Funeral Home. Thank you for your services.